Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for the way you love this church body, the way you love every individual that is here this morning, Lord. We welcome your Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we say, have your way with each one of us. Thank you, Lord, that there's always something new, something wonderful that maybe we have not yet seen. Your word says that you're always doing a new thing. And Lord, we have expectations of that new thing. Help us to open our hearts, to see it, to hear you, and to just bless what you're doing, Lord. Your will be done in each one of us this day, Lord. We praise you in Jesus' name.
You know, as we go into this other song, the church is really being positioned in such an awesome way. It really is. It's not just church like you knew it. It's living. The church is really beginning. I just see it through so many churches, because really the truth is the Holy Spirit is one. And you see so many churches just coming to this place where it's like, we gotta go after what God has. We gotta hear what the Holy Spirit's saying. We gotta move according to what the Holy Spirit's saying. And I love this song because nobody said that just because you got saved, it was going to be easy. But it was guaranteed to be powerful because of who's in your life. And He is the one who's with you in the fire. He is the one who holds back the seas for you, because all creation glorifies the Maker. And the truth is that He is always on your side. So many times it's about us being obedient and deciding, even though you tell me to do this and it seems hard, I'm gonna do it. Even though I don't see the end result, I'm gonna move in the direction you're telling me to. And this is where the church begins to be set apart from the world, is when we begin to function in those ways, when we begin to function according to the kingdom, when we begin to let loose of all the things we think should be and start moving in the direction that God's saying, I'm taking you this way, regardless of if it makes sense to you. Walking around the walls of Jericho never makes sense to anybody. But God knew what He was doing. It was still a moment where they just were obedient as they were. I don't know how my worship's gonna win a battle, but I'm gonna do it anyways. It's those moments in your life that are powerful, because it'll show God's hand in every single thing that you do. So as we go into this song, wherever you're at today, just know God's got amazing things for you. He's not wanting just to be a religion, a thing that's a part of your life. He wants to be there for every single thing, as a father, as a friend. He wants to lighten the loads. He wants to ease your burdens. He wants to give you joy. So as we sing this song, just claim those things in your life. Know that He's got great things, that He's got amazing things for you, and that He is still pushing you forward into the things that He has for you.
Yeah, come on. Praise God. Count the joy from every battle. Amen? Amen. Come on. Hey, couldn't you imagine? So there's another in the fire. There's another in the fire. Can you imagine the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Hey, there's another in the fire. So every time after that, everything they went through, can you, Can you think that they would remember, hey, he was with us in the fire. That's where he's going to be with us all the time. Amen? Amen. Praise God. God is always with you. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, everybody say amen again. God's with you.
Amen.
Come on. He's always with you. Amen. He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. Did he not tell you that? So no matter what you're going through, I don't care what it looks like.
Henry.
Yes, sir.
Behind you.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to,
go ahead.
To
go
make
ahead.
A comment here. One of the hardest battles I ever learned about actually was learning how to rest in
God. Come on.
How to rest in Him. You know, and that only comes when you have peace. And the peace only comes when you surrender, right? So you surrender that whatever that problem is to God.
Yeah.
And each day you see Him come through. And you see Him fight for you. You know, once you've said, okay, Lord, bless this house. Bless this neighbor. Bless these people. He does it.
Yeah, come on.
And he's not going to back off from doing it because we asked him to do it. And he said, whatever you ask in my name, you'll have it. Amen?
Come on.
So God has Hallelujah, brought me Jesus. Peace, but that only came through learning how to be patient, which I'm not real good at. And surrendering.
Come on, man.
Surrendering is the best part, actually. You know, you weep, you cry, and whatever it is that's inside that shouldn't be there comes out with those tears. And it's okay. You remember when you first got saved? You remember how much you cried?
Yeah, come on.
Oh, man, did it feel good the next day? Oh, my goodness. I was jumping up and down in my dorm wing, and all my dorm mates thought I was crazy. And I was. I was a Jesus freak. That's what I was. But God had given me peace. You know, one of the things that happened to me is I used to bite my fingernails all the time before I got saved. And I realized about 2.5 weeks after I got saved, one day I looked down at my hands and I had nails for the first time in years.
Praise God.
That is a change.
Yeah, come on. Praise God.
It was a complete change. It was a total remake. All things became new.
Yeah, come on. Come on,
things
brother.
That I didn't know I even had became new.
Yeah, that's right. Right? Come on, man. Amen. That's
so
right.
I just wanted to give that testimony.
Come on, brother. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Steve. Ooh, there you go. Hallelujah. There's another in the fire. Come on up. Yeah. Absolutely. Glory to God. Looks like it's on. It's on.
So when I was reading this morning, I was reading about when Jesus was praying over Jerusalem because they missed their day of visitation. And I just think that we just need to stop for a minute, whatever situation we're in, and see that we have not missed our day of visitation, that God has been with us this whole time. And we just need to stop and just rest in Him, knowing that He's
Come
there.
On. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, sister. Amen. Oh, there you are. Come on. All right. Thank you. Come on. Man. Praise God.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. Come on.
All right. Today... as I was getting ready for church, I got up this morning, and God led me to this scripture, which I just really made my day. I thought it was so good. In Psalms 143, verse 8, it says, let's see, where did I find that? Here it is. Hey, Pastor,
can I help you? What do you need?
Verse 8.
Verse 8.
143.
143, verse 8.
Yes.
Says, let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love.
Yes.
For I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go. For to you I entrust my life.
Amen. Hallelujah. Listening to that song, you know, that there's joy in every battle.
Absolutely.
And just there is where you'll be.
That's exactly
right. And so it just made me think of that scripture and just really resonated with me. Good. Hearing that.
Praise God, Aaron. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. God bless you. You're a good man. Anybody else? The mic is open. Open mic. Open mic. Come on, brother. Come on, brother. I've been talking to this brother for 3 weeks. So come on up here and say something. Come on. Praise God.
Good scripture, Aaron. I like that. I've been reading and reading Psalms 140, 139, 40, 140, all through there. They're really great psalms. The lady that shared the about when Jesus looked over Jerusalem, that's a real favorite portion of scripture. And part of that is that when he looked over Jerusalem, he wept. And he said, how I have longed to gather you like a hen would gather her chicks. How I longed to gather you.
Yeah.
As a hen would gather her chicks. Henry was telling us last week that we were in a new time. It's a shift. And one of those subtle things that is happening, sometimes it's not so subtle, is the Holy Spirit as a shepherd. He's our shepherd. The Lord Jesus is our shepherd.
Yes, amen. Praise God.
He is drawing us.
Come on.
He's drawing us.
Yeah. Come on.
Just like a hen would gather her chicks.
Come on. Praise God.
Some of you, especially some of you men, I want you to be sensitive to some of the stuff you're going through.
Yeah.
And just like Stephen said, just like you might be going through the deep. And Henry's been teaching on this in Exodus. He's right when the children of Israel had insurmountable odds, everything was against them. Mm-hmm. And what was the words? Stand still and see.
Come on. Come on.
At
brother.
That moment, at that time, stand still.
Yeah. Come on, brother.
And that's hard for us as men when we feel like we need to be kicking butt. Or taking up arms.
Come
or
on, man. Come on, brother.
Digging a hole and hiding, whatever.
Praise
retreating.
God. Praise God.
This is not a time, though, and I can say this with tremendous certainty.
Yeah.
This is not a time for us as men and women of God to be retreating.
That's right. Come on, brother. Hallelujah.
It is not a time. So let the shepherd, the Lord Jesus,
yeah,
come on, draw him to you. This one that we think we're so familiar with, we know so little about
that's
who
right.
he really is.
Yeah, right.
Let him gather you. That same Red Sea was deliverance for the children of Israel. But it was absolute judgment and destruction simultaneously.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
Simultaneously. Have you ever thought about that? For Pharaoh's army.
Yeah, come on.
At that very moment, it was deliverance for us. but judgment against God's enemies.
Come on, brother. Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. Come back. Yeah, come on, man. Anyone else? Come on. Hallelujah. Yeah. Come on. Praise God. Glory to God. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you. Today's message is called Right Place at the Right Time. How many say amen to that? Right place, right time. Right place, the right time. I want to read this. We read this scripture here. This is the power verse for today. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. It says this. We then, as workers together in him. How many know we're workers together? How many know? Everybody say amen to that. We're all workers together. No matter where you're at, if you're visiting this church this morning, you're still a worker together with us. Amen. We are workers no matter who the body of Christ or where the body of Christ is from. We are workers together with him. We beseech you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Amen. Hallelujah. You've received the grace of God. Do something with it. Amen. Hallelujah. It says, for he saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have secured thee. It says, behold, now is the accepted time. Is that right? Everybody say now.
Now.
Now is it. When's the right time?
Now.
What time is it?
Now,
right? Can you see we can't really move out of this time right now? Is that right? We're in the now, amen? We're always in the now. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you get that? God wants us to be aware that now's the time. I believe that God is saying to us even more than, like, get ready. Be ready. For he is speaking. And he's going to use the body of Christ like never before. I don't know if I told you that I got up one. It was a while back before I was actually, we're in this church. I got up one morning. I could hear the sound of a trumpet. I mean, you know, and you figure in your dream you're going to hear something. And I figured I'm dreaming. But when I opened my eyes, I heard it probably for 5 or 6 seconds after I woke up. I could hear this loud blast of a trumpet. And the trumpet, in they used the trumpet to call to gather at the assembly of the congregation of Israel. They used that trumpet. They also used it for an alarm. Oh yeah. But when it stopped, I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, "Be ready, Henry. Just be ready. Be ready." Yeah. And I like what my brother, what he said. He goes, hey, be sensitive to what God's doing. Amen. Creating your, I mean, somehow, one way, in prayer, go to prayer and somehow come out sensitive to what God is doing. Amen. Because you'll find that there's probably people around you. They don't even know it, but they're waiting for a word or something from you. Is that okay? Is that all right? Because now is the time. No matter where you're at, now is the time. Is that okay? Everybody look at your neighbor and say, now's the time. Now's the time. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, now's the time I'm going to take you to First Samuel chapter 1, if you will. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we do believe that now's the time. Father, we are in the right time and the right place. We thank you for that, Father. We praise you for it. Father, I pray that you, by your word, would open the hearts of your people. Let your word come in, cutting, and go out, cutting. Father God, anything that is contrary to you, and let it plant within us, Father God, the writing of the Holy Ghost upon our hearts. This morning, we thank you for it. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. Hallelujah. All right. Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to start. It says this. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuf, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. Poor woman, poor Hannah. Everybody look, say poor Hannah. How many know she wants babies? But somehow the Lord has shut up her womb. Notice that it says the Lord shut her womb. Is that okay? Because when God does something, how many of you know there's always a reason for what he does. Amen? Always a reason. No matter what. God had shut up her womb so she couldn't have kids. And her adversary, as usually happens, and her adversary had also provoked her sore to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. Who is her adversary? Peninnah, yeah. The other wife, amen. Praise God. Aren't you glad we one wife, guys? Amen. Ooh, can you imagine? Two wives. Can you imagine 10 wives? Oh, my goodness. Wow. No way. Hallelujah. I get enough stuff from one wife. Praise God. Where is she at? Is she in the back? Hello. Yeah. Don't tell her I said that. Praise God. Hallelujah. And as he did so year by year, when she went up into the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore, Hannah wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah to her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul. Where did Hannah go? Hannah went to the temple, didn't she? She went to the temple to pray. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your handmaid and remember me and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man-child. This is her promise. Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And there shall no razor come upon his head. Man, I love this part. I love this because she is in bitterness of soul. But Pastor John was talking about prayer on Wednesday night, and we were talking about how the weeping goes on. Amen. How weeping from within begins to happen sometimes, and you're just crying out without words. How many ever done that before? Crying out without words because, hey, the words are done. God already knows what you're talking about, yet there's a weeping going on. Oh, it is a cry of the soul. Amen. It's a cry of the soul. Hallelujah. I love this. And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Eli was the chief priest, and he's watching her. Now Hannah, she spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drinking or was drunk. Is that crazy? And Eli said to her, how long will you be drunken? Put away your wine from you. Oh, man. Good excuse to be offended. What are you drunk? I'm not drunk. I'm praying. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, man. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord. I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul unto the Lord. Oh, well, let me ask you this. When was the last time you done that? When was the last time you just got in your room or in your car and just poured out your soul to the Lord? When was the last time that happened to you? I'm telling you, whatever time it was, it's been too long. Can I say that to you? Pour out your soul to the Lord. Whatever's bothering, maybe there's nothing bothering you. Pour out to the Lord. Let him know how great he is. Thank him for what he's doing. But pour yourself out. Whew. Hallelujah. Count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Belial. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Amen. How many of you have ever noticed that when you've poured out your heart to the Lord and when you come out, oh, something's different, amen? You feel good, you feel light, you feel, oh, there is a, ooh, come on. It's just like something has totally been lifted off of you and all of a sudden, man, whoa, it's so good, amen? Hallelujah. Knowing that God, that you poured out your heart before the Lord and you know he hears you. How many of you know that he hears you? Are we so foolish nowadays that we think that God does not hear just because we don't see? Oh, we got to be confident that God hears us at all time, no matter what, no matter what we're going through, no matter what we see with our eyes, that we know that God is hearing and he hears and he knows and he is in love with you. He's not ignoring you. Amen. How many say amen to that? He's not withholding anything from you. If anything, he's strengthening you. Oh, man, go fall over up here, man. Hallelujah. Yeah. She was no more sad, and they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son, and she called his name Samuel, saying, because I've asked him of the Lord. Can I just say this to you, that probably God said, you know what, I'm looking for a young lady in Israel that will honor me, that will count me as honorable to her. So much so, you know, Anna didn't have to say, hey, I'll give you him. I'll give you my son. I will give you my son all the days of his life. That's kind of crazy, isn't it? Let your child be done. All right, go. How many? That's a tough one. Amen? But she was serious. Came to pass that the time was come that she conceived. Yeah. And Samuel, she called him Samuel because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord a yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said to her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, do what seems thee good. And I got this. Tarry until you have weaned him. Only the Lord establishes word. God says, if you'll honor me, I will honor you. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks, one ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. Samuel was a young man, young guy, little guy. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. And you know, she went home. Isn't that crazy? She would go and visit him time by time. She would make him a little mantle, if you will. She would make him a little suit as he grew. But he grew up in the house of the Lord. Is that okay? Because she promised the Lord, God, if you give me this son, I'll give him to you. Can I say this, that God needed a prophet? And this is a wonderful story, how the beginning of this prophet, you know, this prophet prophesied to not only Saul, but to David in the house of Israel. Samuel, man of God, seer. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew 5:4, the first part says this: blessed are they that mourn. Mourn. Blessed are they that mourn. Hallelujah. I didn't realize it, but you know, last week I started with the Beatitudes. And the first Beatitude, blessed are they that depend upon the Lord with all their heart. Number one, Beatitude. And as I was reading this, I was going through this, it's like the Lord said, okay, go to Matthew. And I found this, and it's the next Beatitude. It's the blessed are they that mourn. I want you to see David. As David was having a little bit of a time, he says, Psalm 42, verses 1 through 5, he says this. As the hart pants after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee. Does anybody here have that thirst for the Lord that say, God, I just want to hear from you, God. I need you, Lord. As the hart pants after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before you? How many say, God, come on, God, when? How much longer, God? You know, I can't wait to see every knee bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. How many say amen to that? Amen. Folks, did I say it's going to happen? The scriptures tell us that it will happen, that every knee's going to bow, every tongue's going to... Not just some knees, not just a few knees, but it says every knee will bow. See, this is coming, folks. It's coming. And it's closer than we think. How many say amen to that? I mean, I'm telling you why. I believe the thing is, this is coming. There's a buildup of what God is doing. I was hearing some stuff, and I said, Lord, what's going on in the earth? Because I try not to pay too much attention. How many say amen? You spend too much time in that, man, you're going to be, ugh. You mean, I watch what's happening, but I try not to speak what's happening to other people. I try to keep only those things that God has given me to hold on to, so that way I can speak those to you, not the things of this world. I said, God, what's happening? What's happening? And you know, the Lord said to me, let me tell you something, Henry. I am seasoning the earth for my return. It's getting worse and worse, God. Come on. He says, I'm seasoning the earth for my return. Ooh, I said, yeah, come on, Lord. Come now, Lord. Yeah, come now, Lord. Yeah. We're seasoned enough. He says, it's soon. I don't believe, I myself don't believe the body of Christ is ready for it yet. before it happens, I believe there's going to be a unity in the body of Christ worldwide that will surpass anything we've ever seen anywhere. God is bringing it. A unity, a trust in the Lord and Him only, not in your denomination. Amen. Yeah. Not in your finances. Not in your lawyer. Trust your lawyer. The only lawyer I got is Jesus. Yeah. None of those things. Only Jesus. Everybody say only Jesus. Only Jesus. That's all we've got, folks. And that's everything. Can I say this one more time? The whole earth, the whole universe is made for the kingdom of God. The whole thing. Every tree, every plant, everything is designed for the kingdom. Do you know that? He made it that way. That's just the way He made it. That fell. Jesus redeemed it. We need to speak what God has done. But He has told us, my kingdom, is what He says in Psalm 103, I believe He says, my kingdom rules over all. How many say amen to that? Amen. Ooh, hallelujah. Yeah. Keep going. My tears have been my meat day and night. Here is a man that has been praying and mourning in his prayer. My tears have been my meat day and night while they continually say to me, where is your God? Amen? Sometimes, folks, we're looked at as, you know, hey, you guys are half-baked. Yeah. Yeah, you're weird. You're peculiar. Yeah, we're all that. Come on, man. Because we trust in the living God. Amen? And they might even be saying to us, oh, yeah, well, where's your God? He's right here. He's in my heart. Hallelujah. It says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. See, here's David talking about these things. I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, to the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Yet, why are you cast down within me, O my soul? Why are you disquieted in me? Sometimes, no matter what we do, I mean, sometimes our soul is crying out for God so hard. God, I need you. I need you. I need you, God. God, will you speak to me? Will you show me what to do? Will you show me what's coming? All these things. So your heart's still stirring. And the only thing that's going to satisfy it is God. Amen? It's the only thing. For thou... Can you give me that one right before that? Give me verse 4 again. Why are you disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, is what he says. Talking to himself, saying, hope in God. Hope in God. Amen. The next one. And then he says, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. You know, when God looks upon you, can I say, He's going to help you. Amen. I was reading a story to my wife the other day about a little boy that was transferring rocks in his backyard to a different place in the backyard. A little boy. And these rocks to him are big. They're heavy. And he's moving them back and forth. Moving from one side of the yard to the other side of the yard. And his dad's watching him. And his dad tells him, son, why don't you put forth, I wrote it down, all of your strength to moving those rocks? And I can imagine the little boy looks at him. Dad, sweating away. Dad. But I am, Dad. And the dad tells him, but you haven't asked me for help. You see. Can I say to you that sometimes what's going on in your life, God is just saying, hey, ask me for help. Just ask me. Sometimes I don't think we're responsible for the load that we might be looking at. Can you say that? I would say most of the time we're not responsible for the load that we're going through. What we're responsible for is the realization that he wants to help us, that he will help you. So when you're going through things, take the time to draw back and to find a place and go after God and say, God, what do you want to do? Help me, oh God. Help me. Amen? Hallelujah. He will comfort you. Matthew chapter 5, verse 4 says this. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Amen? How many like comfort? How many know that God is the God of all comfort? It's what it says. I got that verse. You can set that up there real quick. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. It says, the God of all comfort. He is the God of all comfort. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. Amen. How many like being comfortable? Well, don't get too comfortable. But yet in your uncomfortableness, God will give you comfort. Can I say that to you? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Be comfortable. Hallelujah. John chapter 14, verses 15 and 16. Jesus says this. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. How many know who the comforter is? What's his name? The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Amen. God the Spirit, God, Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. He will comfort you. When he comforts you, there's no comfort like that. Amen. It's kind of like an oil that comes into your life. The Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Matthew 6:6 says this. But thou, when you prayest, enter into your closet. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father which is in secret, and your Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly. Go into your closet. Take some time. Spend some time with God and the Holy Spirit and watch what happens. Amen? Hallelujah. Oh, maybe you might not get a word right then. Is that okay? Is it okay that you won't, maybe you spend time with God and you're worshiping him and you're pouring out your soul to him and you sense the presence of God? Hallelujah. I remember one day I was up at the church and Pastor, it was a prayer meeting, and I told Pastor that I needed a car. Because our station, where Rose and I had this great big Pontiac station wagon, it used, I don't know, 10 gallons a day, probably. I don't know. It didn't get very good gas mileage. And I was telling Pastor, I said, Pastor, I need a new car. He says, well, you need to pray, talk to God about it. So I was praying. I said, Lord, I need a new car. That Pontiac. I said, God, can you show me where I got a new car? And then all of a sudden, I felt the presence of God come in. And my words have changed. I go, God, I don't care. I'll drive that old station wagon. It's okay. You gave it to me. I'm gonna drive it, whatever. Pastor, hold on. He stopped me. He says, hey, he's a big God. He will give you your petition. I said, man, did you feel the presence of God? Oh, yeah. He says, then, hey, he heard you. No problem. Pour out before I am. When you pray, enter in your closet. How many ever find it hard to enter into your closet? I mean, shut everything off, shut everything out, and just pray. Just pray. I used to try doing it in the truck. I'd, on my way to work, I'd start praying. And before you know it, that's a jackrabbit. You know, I mean, hey, a deer tried to run through here. I've been looking at everything, but I'm trying to pray. Yeah, come. I mean, sometimes it can be difficult. But I have found that if you set aside a time that you can spend with him by yourself, just you and him, one-on-one, so much, so profitable to you. Look at what Isaiah says. Isaiah 55, verses 12 and 13 says this. So you go into your closet, You've been speaking to God, you've been worshiping Him. And then when you say, well, time to go, Lord, I will, you know, hey, feel like talking to me all day today, just start talking, I'm good. But, you know, God, right now, I thank you. And you leave and you get out and you start your day or whatever. And it says, you will go out with joy and you'll be led with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Amen? Hallelujah. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Amen. What's it talking about? Instead of this tree coming out, instead of this thorn tree, this will come, a nice tree will come up. What's it talking about? It is talking about the feeding of the Lord that happens when you're in that present, in His presence. You become strengthened. You begin to shine. How many say amen to that? Amen. I remember walking out of the maintenance shop one day, and I was walking, and a brother was walking by me, and his name was Brother Frank, and he looked at me. He goes, Brother, you've been praying in the Holy Ghost, haven't you? Is what he told me. I said, hey, man, yeah, I just sense the presence of God. He goes, ooh, I do too. I mean, you know what? Everything gets lighter when you unload. You're not designed to carry the load. You're designed to say, Father, help me. Holy Spirit, help me, show me. Hallelujah. Spend some time with Him. You watch how much that load begins to come off you. Hallelujah. It's a beautiful thing. Amen. He's designed us for it. It's in our design. It's a kingdom design within us. Hallelujah. Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 4. Watch this. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. This is, remember Jesus spoke this when he came out of the desert and he went into Nazareth and he sat down. They handed him a book to read, and he opens up and he finds this spot. But it's a little different in the New Testament when you read it. But this is what it said in Isaiah. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. I'll just stop right there. Do you know this is Jesus talking about Himself? How many say amen? How many have Jesus living in you? So this is Him. These same words apply, yes, to you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Amen? It's the same words, they apply to you. They are part of you. They are who you are. They are who you are. Look at your friend, look at your neighbor, say, they are who you are. You can't get away from it. They are who you are. Ooh, come on. It says that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to build up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. And the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. Jesus didn't give that part. He stopped to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He stopped there. But this is still part of you, and the day of vengeance of our God. And then it says to comfort all that what? Mourn. Mourn. Hallelujah. Folks, there are people that are mourning out there. And the Holy Spirit is mourning for them. Let Him use you to mourn for them. Is that okay? You see, the Holy Ghost is in you. He sees things happening in the earth that you've never seen, that you don't see. He sees all those young girls and young boys that are being used for sex trafficking. He sees it all. And He's mourning. Oh, you bet He's mourning. And if you would just release yourself to Him, He'll mourn through you. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Yes. Be that what God has called you to be. Set the captives free. Amen? Hallelujah. Verse 2. Proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, and comfort all those that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. How many know what appoint means?
To assign.
Yeah. That's it. Appointed. How many know you're appointed? Do you know that you're appointed? Do you know that God has appointed you? Appointed you. Appointed you. Yeah. Pastor John and I, we used to run into each other before we knew that. And I first met him, he was taking his grandson to my youth group. And I went outside and I talked with his grandson, Sean, and I was shaking Pastor John's hand. And when he left, the next time I saw Sean, his grandson, I told him, man, there's something about your grandfather I like. There's something about it. He goes, yeah, he loves God. And I said, yeah, something about him I like. Somebody invited me one day, hey, you want to go to a Bible study? Sure, we'll go. Where's it at? I said, oh, it's over in Sarita Road. It's kind of a ways to get to, but you want to go? He said, yeah, we went. So we got there, and guess whose house it is? Pastor John's and Stella's. Good folks, man, good folks. And I said, hey, I like this guy. Praise God, man, hallelujah. So we went to a few of his Bible studies, and then we quit going. And then one day I was at the garbage dump, isn't that right? I'm throwing my trash, and I look over there, and there's Pastor John. Well, he was just Brother John. He was over there dumping his trash. We hadn't started no church yet. We hadn't done this. That's what, hey, what's up? So we sat there and we talked for a while. Yeah, we sat there and talked about the Lord and what the Lord was doing and how God was doing things. And I left that conversation saying, I like that guy. Something about that guy. I don't know what it is. We started going to a Bible study down in Amado. A brother named Jesse Luna. And we step into the room, and guess who's there? I go, hey, I like this guy. This guy knows where to be. Couldn't get away from me. I'm sorry. This thing's moving away, isn't it, Steve? Yeah. I guess my microphone's hanging up. Praise God. So I'm looking, I go, hey, I like this guy. Praise God. Well, while we were there in that Bible study, that was about the time the Lord said to me, he says, you're going to pastor a church. You're not a minor. You're a pastor. And I can't bless what you're pretending to be. I said, oh, my God. So I went back and I told them. I said, hey, God wants me to pastor a church. So they all gathered around me and they prayed. And I'm still shaking about, I was still shaking about it. I said, I don't know why he picked me, but he did. And we started this church. We started meeting at some folks' house. We were having meetings and moving around a little bit from house to house. And then we got in the building. And when we got in the building, the Lord said to me, appoint Pastor John to help you. I couldn't think of a better guy. I said, yeah, Lord. See, the appointment came. The appointment came. It says to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. And it says to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. I believe Pastor John and I, we have the same connection with the Holy Ghost. I believe that the appointment has been made. And I will tell you, folks, the Holy Spirit is appointing every one of you. Every one of you. Every one of you. Not just some. There's a sign up at the mine. I love this sign. I tell my wife about it all the time. But it says, top of it says, good housekeeping. It was one of these signs that was all over the mill, all over the main shop. And it said, good housekeeping. And then it says, a place for everything and everything in its place. How many like that? Do you know how much time you can waste looking for something that's not where it should be? Do you know that? I try to get my wife to understand that. I don't know what's going on. I said, come on. She asked me this morning, where's my shoehorn? I said, well, where's it supposed to be? It's supposed to be over here. She goes, I think it's outside. Oh, I'm outside going after this shoehorn in the early this morning because she couldn't get her shoes on. A place for everything and everything in its place. And while I was thinking about this, the Lord said something to me. He said this, a place for everyone and everyone in their place. He is bringing the body of Christ together, folks. That the kingdom of God, the power that's in the kingdom, would be shown because of the unity of the saints. Because they're all filled with the Holy Ghost, instructed by the Holy Ghost. See, God will not say anything contrary to himself. So any instruction that he has to you, you can be confident that he's saying it to you. If the Holy Spirit's in your life and you're pouring your soul out before him, it's the best thing. Amen. Hallelujah. And I like, because there's something happening. There's an appointment. The appointment is happening. And watch this. It says, to appoint to them that mourn in Zion, to give to them beauty for ashes. How many say amen? Yes. Beauty for ashes. How many of you come through some bad stuff? And now you're saved and there's a beauty in your life and you're saved out of the ashes of all that stuff. And they're just ashes. Amen? Amen. Beauty for ashes. Oil of joy for what? Mourning. Blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The oil of joy for the mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Amen? That they might be called the trees of righteousness, right? Remember the myrtle tree, the olive, instead of the briar will come up the myrtle, whatever. They will be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. And watch this. And he will build the old wastes, right? Yes. They shall build the old wastes. And they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. See the appointment? See what the appointment's for? Folks, this building was a desolate place. But now it's not so desolate, is it? The Holy Spirit resides within the believers in this building. Probably the third or fourth, maybe fifth, maybe Sunday, we had just moved out here and we were in this area right here and we were worshiping and praising God, and the Sunday school like it is now was in that room right next to it over there. But that's where we were coming through. These doors were still boarded up at the time, and all of a sudden we heard this rumbling going on in the roof. It felt like somebody running across the top of the roof. There was this rumbling going on. The ladies in the teachers that were in the Sunday school that said that all of a sudden that door blew open and papers followed that breeze out into the parking lot. Do you remember that, Pastor? The Holy Spirit says, I'm getting them out. They're out. This house is one of those desolate places that's been restored for the kingdom of God. Isn't that crazy? They shall repair the waste cities. See, now we're going after this city. When I was walking around this building, the Lord said, walk around the building. And I was standing out front and the Lord said, prophesy the building. I said, it was still had the boards on it. I said, I don't know what to prophesy. All of a sudden from within me came these words. Open up, O ye gates, open up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory will come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord mighty and righteous. Out of thee, O house of God, shall flow rivers of living water into the city. Out of thee, O house of God, shall flow the people of God, carrying living waters into the city. See, folks, God is after our city. He's after the city. They shall repair waste cities, the desolations of many. I'm saying many generations. Can you say amen to that? Whoa. Ooh, hallelujah. See, pouring out your soul before the Lord brings something to you. It's going to bring an appointment. It's going to bring an appointment. God will say, I need you to do this. Can you say amen to that? Praise God. Hallelujah. Rabakas on that. Acts chapter 2, verses 38 and 39, and I'll close with this. Abe, are you ready to come up? You see, the Holy Spirit has been given to you to do the work. Every one of you. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is already within you. The gifts of the Holy Spirit is already within you. It's already resident in you. You don't pick and choose the gifts. He does. He uses you. It's him in you. Do you want me to understand that? That those gifts are in you. There have been people tell you that you can't, you speaking in tongues is, I will tell you, they don't understand it, but it is the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not by might, not by power, but by his Spirit, saith the Lord, that this world is going to be touched. It's by the Spirit. The church today needs the Holy Ghost like it's never needed it before. The church today must be led by the Holy Ghost like it's never been led before. How many say amen? Woo, hallelujah. Some folks will say, yeah, well, I was taught that that's not for me. Well, this is what Peter says. Peter said to them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is the gift, folks. How many say amen?
Amen.
And when he comes into a vessel, when he comes into a person, if you will yield to him to pray through you, it could be in strong crying, it can be in some strong groaning, and it can be in speaking in tongues. The promise is unto you and to your children and to as many as are far off, even as many as the Lord shall call. The baptism of the Spirit is yours. It belongs to you. As a matter of fact, if Jesus is in your heart, it already resides in you. Allow it to happen. Can you say amen to that? You need it. You need it. I will tell you, you need it. You need it. You need it. You need it. If you don't have it, go after it. Ask God to fill you with his Holy Ghost, with the Holy Spirit. Ask him, say, Lord, let me know. Let me speak in tongues, Father. Let me prophesy like I've never done it before. Give me a word of knowledge over somebody that has never heard something like this. Place within my hands a miracle for those that don't know you, God. Place within my hands a witness for your kingdom and for your glory. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Thank you for coming this morning. Brother Abe. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, I just ask that you comfort those that need it in this moment, Lord. You help us to be those who can comfort others. Teach us and guide us all day long. Teach us to put all of our hope in you and to be patient. Lord, and let us be sensitive to what you're doing. Let us be responsive to it. Let us be accountable to it. And Lord, just bless everybody here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.